views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Moms, are you ready to become enlightened, empowered, and stress-free? Well, get ready because you are about to tune into vibrant, powerful moms helping everyday women create an extraordinary life with Debbie Pokornik. Each week, Debbie discusses topics to help you become self-aware, inspired, and on track to create the life you crave. It's time to stop settling and start thriving. And it all begins now on Transformation Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Vibrant Powerful Mom Show. I'm your host, Debbie Pokornik, and my mission is to help you create a life you love at work, at home, and at play. This summer, I decided to do a new podcast series covering my book, Break Free of Parenting Pressures. I started it back at the beginning of June, and today we are ready to go into the middle of chapter 6. So if you're someone who really prefers to read a book in order, then you might want to head back to the beginning of June, or at least back to the beginning of the last show, and catch us from there. Whatever you decide to do, I'm optimistic that you will enjoy this reading. And you know what? If it's not your thing, I really hope that you'll return to my show in the fall when I'll likely switch back to my regular format of interviews and other timely material. So here we go. Break free of parenting pressures. Embrace your natural guidance. We are in chapter 6, right in the middle. And I am about to tell you about 6 ways to prevent power struggles and give you examples of how that might look in your home. Number 1, be clear about your expectations and provide good reasons for your beliefs. So actually sit down and think about, what is my belief around this and why does it matter? For example, I believe my child needs to eat breakfast in the morning because that energy feeds his brain and his body and makes him better able to face the day. Number 2, explain your expectations to your child. Don't make this a lengthy lecture because nobody really likes to listen to those, but rather an age-appropriate explanation. If necessary, decide on a consequence for slip-ups or rewards for compliance. So continuing with that same example, breakfast is an important part of our day, so I want to make sure you always have a good one. You may have a treat with lunch if you have a good breakfast. Number 3, understand that your child wants to have some say over his life, and one of the few areas he can truly control is his body. Give him as much choice as possible. Maybe create a list of foods that you approve for breakfast and have those posted up along with things that you don't approve of. So for example, you might have fruit on the list that you approve of and potato chips on the one that you don't approve of. Or maybe not. Then you can say to your child, do you want cereal or toast for breakfast? Or if they're old enough, can read the list, what would you like to have for breakfast? Number 4. Refuse to fight. When your child decides to flex his power muscle, focus your energy on self-control. We know it takes 2 to fight. We just don't like to believe we would fight with a 5-year-old. Kids love to push our buttons. It's a very powerful feeling to make an adult flip out. Stay calm and clear about your expectations. Protect your anger button and refuse to go to battle. So if your child is pushing your buttons, you could say, breakfast is one of our rules. Do you want to choose what you'll eat, or should I? Number 5, be consistent. A rule worth having is a rule worth enforcing. On special occasions, you can make changes, but overall, the rule should be there for a valid reason and therefore be worth insisting on. So if your child is still giving you a rough time, calmly repeat your rule. Breakfast is an important part of our day. Number 6. If you do engage in a power struggle, acknowledge it to your child later and assure him the rule is still in force. You know, that fight we had over breakfast was wrong, and I'm sorry it happened. Breakfast is an important part of the day and is still a rule in our house. Power struggles are a force not to be reckoned with, because we want our kids to feel empowered without the need for power over others. Free parenting tip. Most of us will be unable to avoid every power struggle, but if we can cut them down to occasional events, life will be easier. There will be days when we are deep into a struggle before we recognize what's happening. This is normal. What's important is that we recognize and learn from it. It takes two to tango. The question is, how badly do you want to dance? Surviving a power struggle. Getting out of a power struggle without causing extra damage can be very challenging. This section is set up to help guide you out of this situation as gracefully as possible. So let's assume you are immersed in a battle of the wills with a child who is refusing to take her bath. She has no reason for not wanting to bathe other than she would rather play. You started out nice, moved on to authoritative, and are now angrily ready to force your way. This is a battle for power between an adult and a young child. It might be funny if you weren't so darn mad. The first thing you must do is get control of yourself. Take a deep breath and remind yourself that tomorrow this will seem like a much smaller deal. If necessary, get away from the child so you can focus on calming down. Do not try to deal with the situation when you are emotionally stirred up. If you have a partner who could help, call for backup. I need time to calm down. Can you take over, please? Then take a timeout in the bathroom, your bedroom, or some other place where you can be by yourself. You must calm down in order to get blood flowing to the thinking area of your brain. This is not about asking your partner to take over the battle, although he might just be willing to do so, but if he does this on a regular basis, it can become frustrating for all parties and can make things much harder for you when he's not there. If help is not available, remove yourself as best you can from the situation while still looking after your responsibilities. So if you have a baby as well as a child you're fighting with, put your baby in his crib or playpen with a toy or bring him with you wherever you're going. Another possibility is to put the child you are fighting with in her room, shut the door, and tell her you both need a timeout to calm down. Another option is to call a friend, neighbor, or family member to come and help out for an hour or so. Once you have calmed down, think about your next step. Try to put things in perspective. Your overall relationship with your child is more important than getting your way at all costs. I'll say that again. Your overall relationship with your child is more important than getting your way at all costs. Search for any humor in the situation, assess where you are at, and think about where you need to go next. Now that you're calm, let's deal with the storm. If your struggle was about something you do not have a plan for, it's time to develop one. Not right at the moment, but within the next couple of days. This will involve coming up with your expectations, having an age-appropriate discussion with your child, determining any consequences or rewards, and putting the plan into place. For now, you might tell your child, I guess bath time needs a plan. Let's do that tomorrow night, right after supper. If you've already set up rules on this topic, figure out which to apply and calmly put them in place. You might still want the child to have a bath tonight, but you'll need to be very careful about not re-engaging in the battle. Visualize different ways you could say things to your child before saying it to her aloud, so that unfair choices can be made more appealing. So for example, rather than saying, "Do you want to take your bath willingly or am I going to have to force you?" You might change it to, "I need you to take a bath tonight. What can I do to help make that happen?" If your child has calmed down and you already have a plan, you might say something like, "I'm sorry I yelled at you. That was wrong. We agreed you would take a bath once a week and tonight is the night. If we move fast, we can get your bath done and still have a few minutes left for stories." If she is still upset, give her more time. There is no use having a discussion until you are both calm enough to think. Say something like, "I can see you're still upset. I'll give you more time to calm down." An out-of-control child needs to learn that only she can control her responses. If you are calm and she is still escalating, she needs time to pull it together. Sometimes that means focusing on something else and ignoring her. Other times it means getting her safely into her room or giving her a hug if she wants one. I found humming or singing quietly while pretending to ignore my child had a calming effect on both of us. If she is so upset that your struggle moves into bedtime, put her to bed and tell her you will do the bath the next day. Acknowledge what's happened. "It's gotten too late for your bath. Let's get you to bed and we'll do bath first thing when I get home from work tomorrow." Start early the next day so you have room to move without running into bedtime again. It is essential that you follow through the next day. By staying calm, you are sending a message that this is non-negotiable and she might as well comply. Free parenting tip: it is harder to deal with things in the heat of the moment. Anticipating problems in advance and creating a plan for what you can do will decrease battle wounds and make recovery that much quicker. So I created a page. It's emergency guidelines that a person can put up on their fridge or wherever just to remind them what to do when they get caught in a power struggle. I've actually done a podcast on this topic and I have included those guidelines as a giveaway. So if you check out that podcast and go to my blog on vibrantpowerfulmoms.com, you will be able to get a copy of that. But basically, it just reminds you to calm down. Remember, it's a learning experience for you both. Be clear and consistent. Breathe deeply. Focus on the bottom of your feet. Exhale slowly, feeling the tension leave your body. Breathe again, and on it goes. Now, in this chapter, I've also included an exercise on the game of blame. And the whole point is to help people get thinking about blame and how blame never really helps you. It always works in our favor when we take full responsibility for our part in something, and we always do have a role in anything that we're involved in. So if we can learn how to focus on that and then use those situations where we really feel like blaming somebody to recognize, what is it that I need to heal? So is there a part of me that person is mirroring? Is there a learning point in this that I need to get? Is there something in them that is triggering me because of problems that I'm carrying with me? Looking at why you blame others, what's getting in the way of you taking responsibility, can really help you to focus in on what it is you need to heal those parts of yourself. And once you do that, you can role model it for your kids as well. Chapter 7, Creating Structure and Control. My clothing concerns. As my kids were growing up, we went through a variety of struggles around clothing. I tried really hard to let go and allow them to wear whatever they wanted, but it was quite difficult. One of the things that saved me during those years was reading Barbara Coloroso's book, Kids Are Worth It, and discovering her idea of creating an "I dressed myself" pin for the kids to wear. Now, I never actually made a pin, but it just made me feel better to know I wasn't the only parent with a strangely dressed child. There was one year when one of my kids wore the same t-shirt for the first half of the school year and a second t-shirt every day for the second half. On Sunday, I'd have to wrestle the shirt off to wash it so it could be back and ready to go for Monday. My other child gained comfort from old, worn-out clothing and wouldn't let me get rid of anything ripped, stained, or otherwise. I tried to make these play clothes only, but somehow they would end up being worn whenever my child was nervous. Buying new clothes to wear for a Santa picture was definitely a waste of money in my house. The one thing I didn't struggle with when my kids were young was about dressing warm enough. We lived in Manitoba, Canada, where it could get cold enough to freeze body parts off, so dressing warm was part of our survival. When the kids were little and looked underdressed, I would tell them to go stand out on our deck and see if they were warm enough. If they could stay out there for 5 minutes and be warm enough, they could go out in what they had on. Inevitably, they would come in after a few minutes and add clothes to their body on these occasions. There was a time when my son was around 9 that he decided he didn't need a winter jacket despite the below freezing temperatures. I tried a variety of things to convince him he needed his jacket, but he kept telling me he was warm enough. I had raised both of my kids to listen to their body, so this really stumped me. Finally, it hit me one day, and I told him, "Oh, your thermostat must be broken. If you think that you're warm enough, you're going to have to actually listen to me until your thermostat is fixed. I will need to decide your outdoor gear." That worked, and he dressed sensibly, at least until he became a teenager. Practicing self-control. Self-control is a learned behavior that requires both social and emotional skill development. It is easier for us to maintain self-control in the public eye, although some people let it fly regardless of their audience. Over time, losing self-control in public has become more common, with horrific examples being displayed in the media and movies on a regular basis. As a result, most of us witness people losing self-control often, which desensitizes us, making it seem normal and acceptable. Many parents struggle to model and teach this skill since they were never taught it themselves. They figured out how to use their self-control to avoid unpleasant alternatives like spankings, the strap, imprisonment, and so on. As a result, they do not know how to effectively teach this life skill, and their kids are growing up without it. Stress seems to play a role in both the intensity and the frequency that people lose their self-control. Between aging parents, demanding jobs, financial concerns, illnesses, and relationship difficulties, stress does appear to be on the rise for many people. Since it's not socially appropriate to snap at a client, colleague, or grocery clerk, many of us hold it in and take it home with us. We don't do this on purpose. It's just that when we get home and take off our public face, the guard is released on both our pent-up emotions and our social behaviors. Our children misbehave and snap, we lose it. The more we allow ourselves to lose our self-control, the easier it becomes to do it again. There are 3 things to keep in mind if we want to be successful in both learning and teaching self-control. 1, we must become self-aware so we can pick up on cues early and take action before a major reaction occurs. 2, we must practice new behaviors and create new patterns to follow. In times of stress, we take the path we are most familiar with, making our patterns repeat. 3, we must have a real desire to succeed. Just saying we wish we were more controlled will not make it happen. We have to truly want it, or our negative thoughts will overpower our optimistic ones. If we understand and accept these 3 points, then there are plenty of things we can do to maintain our control. What we do on a regular basis to deal with stress and challenges in our life will influence how easy it is for us to lose it. Putting into action the following practices on a regular basis is beneficial in many ways. So the first idea I want to share is that of positive thinking. Our thoughts have the greatest influence on our being calm and staying in control, or alternatively, on feeding the fire and losing it. By controlling our thoughts, we control our actions. Having a number of simple phrases we can silently recite when we feel our emotions taking over is a critical part of regaining control. Coming up with those ideas in the heat of the moment is nearly impossible to do. So it makes sense to create some ideas when we are relaxed and in control. Examples of such phrases might be, calm down, I'm okay, relax, whoa, I can handle this, it's not worth a fight. You must allow your feelings to change with these thoughts, or an overreaction is still likely to occur. Another idea is breathing. Our breathing greatly affects how we feel. By focusing on our breathing and taking deep breaths, we can help our bodies relax and take a moment to refocus our thinking. Some people like to combine counting with their breathing, and others just like to focus on the breath itself. See which works for you and practice in times of calm. Another idea is exercise. When we are carrying around a lot of extra emotion and stress, exercise can be a great way to work it off. Exercise does not fix unrelated problems, but the benefits go beyond self-control, and it can be a great way to work off some steam. Try to work positive thoughts from that earlier idea into your workout for the greatest effect. And finally, relaxation. Our goal when we are feeling stressed is to help the body relax and release tension. This can be done using stretches, yoga, breath work, or any variety of relaxation techniques. Some people like to fill their body up like a balloon and then let the breath and tension out in a big rush. Others prefer to breathe slowly and focus on releasing the tension out of their body piece by piece. It's great to know which works best for you, so you can use it at a moment's notice. Free parenting tip. Many people rebalance by going for a walk, sitting under a tree, patting a dog, or watching a fish tank. Nature has a calm way of being that will transfer to us if allowed. Concrete, electromagnetic fields, and satellite signals all take their toll on our bodies. Mother Nature provides wonderful examples of living in the moment, if we can find the time to notice. Regaining control in the heat of the moment. While all of the other ideas that I just shared can help us find balance, not all of them will help us in the heat of the moment. So here are some ideas to help when tough situations arise or to teach self-control to a child who struggles with it. Focus on the bottom of your feet. If you find you're getting emotional and need something quick to divert your center of attention, try focusing on the bottom of your feet. Really feel them stuck to the floor and notice where there is pressure. This does two things. It grounds you by tuning you into the physical, and it tells the brain there is no emergency, allowing blood to flow back to the thinking part of your brain. Another idea, breathe in a box. Picture a box in your head and breathe around its borders, up one side, across the top, down the other side, and across the bottom. This translates into breathe in for four, hold for four, breathe out for four, and think positive thoughts for four. If you picture a box while you're doing this, you will again refocus your brain from its emergency state. Another idea, bite your tongue. Most of us have heard this advice before, but few of us have ever actually followed it. The act of allowing angry words to shoot out of your mouth actually escalates your emotion. If you can hold your tongue with your teeth and your mouth firmly shut while focusing on positive thoughts, your emotions will cool and you will hear things you would have otherwise missed. Just don't bite down too hard. One of my favorite ideas is to scratch the record. I learned this from Tony Robbins in his Personal Power 2 program that I had bought years and years ago. Our lives are full of patterns that put us on autopilot, so we do not need to constantly think about what we're doing. It is common for people to get into emotional ruts as a result of this, which cause them to get caught up in a loop and repeat undesired behaviors. If we imagine these patterns as grooves on a record, which now I know we have CDs, but same idea, all we need to do is scratch the record to interrupt them. You can do this by surprising yourself. Make a funny face, shouting out a goofy word like cowabunga, or jumping up and down. Anything out of the ordinary for you. Just make sure it isn't super scary for your kids. Another idea, identify the cause. Often what seems like the obvious reason for our anger isn't the cause at all. So if we can make ourselves focus objectively on why we're so angry, our brain shifts out of fight mode and into analysis mode, calming our emotions and allowing us to think. We might ask aloud, "What is going on? Why am I so angry about this?" This causes our brain to search for an answer and might provide our sparring partner time to do a self-check as well. Of course, if we are focused on blaming and negativity, our brain will supply the information we are requesting. A true analyst would remove emotion and look for facts. Another idea, protect your button. We become defensive when we feel under attack. If we refuse to take things personally and focus on protecting our anger button, we can have some fun instead of overreacting. This sounds easy, but it's not. For example, as I mentioned previously, we might protect our button by pretending someone we admire just walked into the room. Rarely do we lose our self-control when we are trying to impress others. Another option is to imagine that you're trying out for a role in a movie. Our child's job is to try and make us angry, but our character is supposed to stay calm at all costs. Our kids are really good at this job, so if necessary, be prepared to start the scene over. One final idea, focus on the plan. Having structure or a plan for how we will deal with situations can help us maintain our self-control. Focusing on what we've already decided to do provides a sense of calm and allows us to be more consistent. This is one of the reasons that schools practice fire drills. Having a plan in place increases the odds of people remaining calm and doing what they have to do. Free parenting tip, self-control comes from within and no one else can do it for us. Even the most controlled person will lose it sometimes. When this happens, ask yourself, could I have done worse? And recognize that you probably could have. If we make it our mission to learn our cues, patterns, and triggers, we will figure it out, perhaps just in time to use our newfound control with our grandchildren. With much respect for you and the journey you are on, this is Debbie Pokornik wishing you a vibrant and powerful day.
You've been listening to Vibrant Powerful Moms with host Debbie Pokornik. If you enjoyed this show, please give us a shout out and let us know what you loved. Visit vibrantpowerfulmoms.com to find out more about Debbie and her sisterhood of Vibrant Powerful Moms.